welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, everyone, and welcome again to another edition of Family Matters with Kenny and Kwajan on Blog Talk Radio. I just want to say good evening, to everybody that's on the air, and I want to go ahead and get started. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and do the introduction for the show, and then we'll go ahead and begin. Bullying. That was the last episode on which we talked about, so we're going to go ahead and get into that a little more tonight and do a continuation on it, because I think it's very important that we continue on with the show. All right, bullying and cyberbullying have become common issues amongst our children in today's society. Our children are faced with the pressure to fit in with the crowd like never before. Oftentimes, their refusal to adapt to the majority causes them to face cruel backlash from their peers. This treatment can and often lead to depression, withdrawal from friends and family, suicide attempts, eating disorders, behavior problems in school, and much more. How can parents identify the signs of children that are being bullied and pressured by their peers? What should be done if our children are being bullied, and how can we stop our children from becoming bullies themselves? How does this issue affect the family dynamics as a whole? Thank you again for joining us on Blog Talk Radio tonight. I'm glad everybody's here. I just wanted to just go ahead and introduce myself. My name is Kenny Johnson. Of course, you know me, and I have my wife, my beautiful wife, Kwajana Johnson. I believe she's on the air, but if she's not on the air at the moment, she's probably downstairs getting the kids situated so that we can continue on with the show.
I'm here. Hello.
All right. So as we get ready to get into the topic, the last thing we left off with, I believe our last time, we were discussing just bullying as a whole and how it affects our kids. And also how it can not only affect the kids, but it can affect the home front. So, Kwajana, would you like to go ahead and begin?
Yeah, I would love to do a recap from our last show. The last time we had a couple on the Griff family, and they're not able to be with us on tonight. And we also had others that were on, but we were talking about the effects of bullying, and they have a personal story that they were sharing with us concerning their 14-year-old daughter who has experienced bullying and the effects that it's taken on her, where she attempted to hurt herself and was placed in a facility. And so they were talking to us about different things like that, and also about different ways that we as parents need to be aware as far as because we were talking about cyberbullying, but the things that that can happen to our children if they are engaging in in different things concerning the internet. And then of course you, Kenny, and we had some of our guests that came on and talked about how we need to be aware of the different apps and things that are on these electronics these days, how our children can hide things. We can think they are looking at an ESPN app, and they have, other apps that are allowing them to be subject to bullies and predators and things like that. And so this is a very important matter on so many different levels, not only because we have to be at a place where we can identify where our children are being bullied, because sometimes we don't know. Sometimes we may miss the signs. We may miss the signs, but some of the things that we talked about as far as signs were, if their eating habits change, if they start to withdraw, bathroom habits may change, they may start bedwetting, things like that. Please, y'all, excuse me, I know y'all hear the kids in the background, things like that. Just, like I said, become withdrawn. I think that's one of the main things, not wanting to go to school. So different things that we need to be aware of. And, it's important that we continue to talk to our kids. We make sure that we are open, that we as parents are there to listen to them, to have an open ear. So when they do come to us and talk to us, if they're going to through those things. We also discussed about how when we were growing up, it was different. You know, the kids back then were not as violent, I should say, as they were not as brutal as they are now. These kids, they are out to, like Ann said, you know, they're out for blood, and they are. They're out for blood. They are out to, you know, either kill physically or ruin the character of our children. And so we're dealing with a different state of mind, and so we have to deal with things differently these days. And so that's just kind of some of the things that we talked about the last show. Did you have anything?
No, I don't, but we have a total of 6 callers on the air, and I would like to introduce it, if that's okay with you, honey.
That's fine with me.
Okay. We have a caller ending in 1450. Caller, you're live and on the air. Would you like to introduce yourself and tell us how you heard about the show? Caller ending in 1450. You're on the air.
Praise the Lord, Pastor Kenny.
Hey, how's it going, Pastor? How you doing?
I'm doing well. This is Pastor Robert Knight calling from Macon, Georgia. And just excited about being on tonight, just listening, hearing about the topic that you guys are discussing. And I'm just enjoying just sitting back listening, and I just thank God for being on tonight. And God bless you. And I just really enjoy the information that I'm hearing thus far. So,
all right. Well, thank you again, Pastor Knight, for joining us on this evening.
Hello, Pastor Knight.
Yes, sir. How you doing, Pastor Quadula?
Good.
All right, our next caller we have ending in 1844. Caller, you're on the air. If you would like to introduce yourself and just tell us how you heard about the show.
Hi, Pastors. I'm Kenny Quadula. It's me, Missionary Jade. How are y'all?
Great. How are you, Mish?
Good, Mish.
I'm doing very, very well. Heard about the show from you guys, you know, and I just try to spread the word.
All right. Well, we definitely appreciate your support, and we love you.
I love you guys, too.
Okay, our next caller we have on the air, ending in 8225. Caller, you on the air. Please just introduce yourself and just tell us a brief, you know, comment about how you heard about the show.
Hey, guys. It's Keisha. How are you guys this afternoon?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing great. I heard about the show from you guys, from my friend, my lovely, lovely, beautiful friend, Quadrilin.
All right. Well, thank you very much, madam. We really appreciate your support.
Anytime.
All right, caller ending in 8860, you're on the air. If you could, just give us a brief comment about how you heard about the show and just introduce yourself.
Hey, how y'all doing?
All right, what's going on, brother?
You know, just tuning in, man, since I'm off. And, you know,
hey,
we got
an opportunity to be off. You get some rest, bro.
Yeah, just a little bit. But, you know, just listening. I want to hear how,
okay.
I want to listen to this show about the bullying thing. So, you know, I think one of my mine had went through it, but the way I told him to handle it might not be the right way, so I ain't going to stress that over the F. But he got it handled, though. You know,
hey,
so.
That's it.
But, I want to hear the whole idea.
We're going to ask you to talk about that later, though.
Okay.
Thank you, brother.
Okay.
All right. Caller ending in 2488. You're on the air. Can you? Caller ending in 2488. You're on the air. All right, our next caller we have, caller in again, 5065. You're on the air. caller ending in 5065. You're on the air. All right. Well, again, I want to thank everyone that's actually tuning in on tonight. Thank you very much for, you know, taking a brief moment out of your time to just give us a phone call and just, you know, just call in and check in with us and, you know, hear about the show and the topic. So thank you very much for your time. Okay, honey, I think we're done with all of the introductions. You may continue, please.
Okay. I wanted to go into a different aspect of the bullying. Some of the websites that the Greers gave us last week, they gave us two websites, and so I went on one of them, and they had stories of children that had committed suicide because they were being bullied. And so that's something that I would like to chime in on tonight, and we're asking that you guys please, you know, join in on the discussion with us, because, you know, we actually need for you guys to discuss this with us. I'm sorry, do you guys hear me? Do you hear me now? I was talking. I'm sorry, nobody heard me because the phone was on mute, but I was talking. Okay, let me go back. Sexting, that's when some of our teenagers, what they're engaged in, that's what I was talking about, sending, and they send sexually explicit pictures of themselves. And on this website that the Greers gave us, puresight.com, there was an incident where a young lady, and there were actually a couple on there from sexting, but there was an incident where a young lady, she sent a nude picture to her boyfriend at the time, and then the boyfriend, when they broke up, he sent the picture out. He sent the picture out to the school. And so then people began to talk about her, call her names, you know, slut, different names like that. But they began to bully her at school. They bullied her online. And this ended up in the young lady committing suicide. So that's something else that I wanted to bring out on this show today. We have to, you know, like we talked about last show, you know, as parents, making sure we stay on our children, you know, on their electronics, because that's something, you know, that's going on today. And they may, you know, feel like they're in a committed relationship with someone, and then they break up, and then this person sends out, you know, these pictures to everybody. And then next thing you know, they're, you know, just being bullied on a whole different level, just a whole nother level, to the point, like I said, where they feel like they're getting to a point where they feel like they don't know what to do. And so we have kids that are taking their lives. And so it is, you know, this is just something. These kids, like we talked about before, they're dealing with things that we did not deal with. So we as parents, we have to be mindful. We have to be, you know, mindful and very involved, you know, in what is going on with our kids. Do you have anything to say?
Being mindful of our kids is definitely an important factor in ensuring that we're keeping the welfare and safety of our children, you know, at the forefront, all right, because simply this day and age, we know this generation that we have, you know, here now, this generation is really, really tough on one another. And, you know, if I had to figure out what I would tie them in with, and this is not saying that the kids are, I'm just saying, They're like piranhas when it comes to, you know, bad information, because they go in at that information and they target it like really, really hard, and then they pushing stuff out that shouldn't be pushed out for people, and then it in turn leads to people getting hurt or someone else, you know, hurting themselves. So you're right, it's absolutely important.
And we have a caller, Keisha. Could you are the lines open? 8225. Could you open 8225, please? Okay. You're on.
Okay.
8225.
I just wanted to say that I totally agree with what Kenny is saying, but I do want to say that also, us as parents, we also need to be leading by example, because I think a lot of times children learn these behaviors at home, and they see their parents being cruel, and they aren't necessarily being treated the way that they should be treated, and so they take that anger and frustration and those hateful ways and inflict that upon, you know, children at school or, you know, in just various places. And so I think it's important for us also to be mindful of the way we behave and the things that we do in front of our children, because some of that stuff is learned behavior.
And that is completely right. And that leads me to something else that I wanted to go into tonight. How do we identify signs that our child is the bully? Because, you know, we're talking about bullying and we're talking about our children being bullied, but, you know, somebody's child is the bully. So how you know, we have to you know, also be at a point where we can identify if our kids are the bullies. And so I'm going to give some things. I did some research on here, and so I'm going to give some things that I got offline, you know, with my research that we as parents, you know, should look for. Extremely aggressive behavior. Concerned if our kids are, you know, overly concerned with staying popular. You know, I don't mean just, you know, I think we know that our kids, you know, that they deal with peer pressure, but I mean if they're overly concerned with staying popular, and sometimes that's a problem because, you know, if the in crowd, if that's what they still say, I don't know, but if that's the crowd, the popular crowd, you know, if they're isolating other kids, if they are, you know, picking on other, you know, other kids, and if our kids are the ones that are trying to be popular, then, you know, it's a chance that they'll get in with that. If they taunt and tease other children, if they exclude children that are different from them, you know, I can't play with Johnny because he, you know, whatever, because of his race or how he looks or, you know, whatever. If they hurt animals, if they are extremely defiant, you know, if your kids have an issue with authority, which, you know, this does go back to parenting. You know, this does go back to parenting. We have to, you know, we do have to make sure that we are, like, you know, Keisha just said, that we are displaying these things. We are teaching our kids to obey, and we are obeying. Because if we're not obeying the law, if we're not obeying authority, then, you know, it's kind of hard to expect our children to do that. So we have to make sure that we are, you know, doing those things. And if your children lack empathy, we can tell when our children are very young if they lack empathy. And if your child or our children, you know, if you have a child that lacks empathy, then I would definitely say that that is a sign that, you know, that you may need to receive some help. Do you have anything to say? Okay. So thank you, Keisha, very much for bringing that up, because Kenny brought that up last week, and he was talking about how, you know, it is common to see that the parents, they were bullies, you know, or whatever, or just off the chain, not obeying authority and stuff, and no one ever corrected them, and now we have this, you know, a new generation growing up, and so then it just becomes a generational thing. Okay. We have another caller on the line. 6770.
Yes. Hello, Pastor Kenny and Kwajalein.
Hello.
Hello, how you doing?
Just fine. This is Michelle. I wanted to first answer your question on what I feel are some signs of bullying, but I want to give it first from a person on the outside looking in who have seen this. A lot of parents don't want to believe or receive that their child is that way.
Right.
They don't want to accept the fact that their child, when they're not around the parent, because now children are becoming a lot wiser on how to deceive the parent. And I'm specifically
right.
speaking about in our age group and not just the Christian homes, but in the worldly homes as well, that they are so in the business of making sure they're in right standing around their parents that when something is being brought to them, they don't want to believe it. Even if a friend has told you, the school has called, they've even been caught by the police, they will say, not my child. So the parent has to come out of denial of their child being a bully in the first place.
Right.
We're in an age where we want to protect our children and always, but sometimes protecting them is letting them know when they're wrong and adding up every finger being pointing at you instead of, you know, someone else. You are the one that parents say stay away from. You know,
right?
And they don't want to believe that about their child. So it's us first accepting that this is what our child has become, taking the blinders off, go ahead and deal with the hurt within yourself, because as a parent, you're going to go through, what have I done wrong? Why me? And things like that. So after you deal with yourself, and I'm not saying this in a mean way, but after you deal with your self-pity, go ahead and deal with how your child really is, because what's going to happen is they're going to grow up and the law is going to take care of them. They'll end up in jail. They'll end up in juvenile. They'll end up in places that you'll still be saying, not my child.
Right. Right. So why do you think that is? Why do you think that parents have such an issue with accepting that, you know, that could be my child?
Well, part of the reason that I see is that if we accept that that is our child, then that means we have to accept that our parental skills were not intact like we thought that they were.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to then take a look at ourselves. And if we did raise our child accordingly, according to the Bible, and you know, because we are talking about Christian homes a lot, if we're raising them according to the Bible, how strict and how hard are you raising them? Are you raising them to where they feel like they have to be perfect? So when they go out into the world, i.e. school, jobs, and places of this nature, they feel like their release is to bully somebody else, because we don't realize that we're being so hard that we're bullying our children. But we say
right.
that we're raising them in the admonition of Christ. But we have no room for error for our children as men and women of God. When they make a mistake, it's like we get very angry. However, someone else's child can make the very same mistake, and we have more grace for somebody else's child than we have for our own.
Right.
So it'll force us to look at ourselves and how we're raising our children, and that's something that a lot of parents don't want to do. And so which brings on, I can't accept what you're saying about my child because I'm raising them the way God said, or even if it's not a Christian home, I'm raising them to be productive members of society. So as a parent, then how much pressure do you have on your child? We as parents don't want to accept our part in that. So we're definitely not going to look at our child being that way.
Right.
It's what I believe. Far from an expert, but I have seen a lot. And also, one of the things that, if you don't mind me going back, that I really wanted to ask as far as bullying was concerned, there was a young lady that was being bullied. These are people that I know personally. They were being bullied. And the one young lady killed herself. And then a year later, her cousin killed herself close to the same day or the same day a year later for the same thing, for bullying. And the signs were never there. Even hindsight being 2020, as the mother, as being the friend, if the day this happened, the child was bubbly, laughing, all her friends were over, you know, you could not find, you know, even talking to a friend, you could not find anything that was wrong that made this child want to kill themselves. And another thing that's very popular among teenagers are what they call suicide pacts.
Mm-hmm. Could you talk, yes, go into detail about that?
Ma'am?
Could you go into detail about that?
Oh, yes, ma'am. A suicide pact is when a group of kids have gotten together and they have made specific dates to kill themselves on. They also have pregnancy pacts and things like that. And they all have set aside this particular date that they will all kill themselves. Or they will do it in a piano effect. Like one would do it this day, one would do it the next day, one would do it this day. And so it'll be a string of suicides. And that's what a suicide pact is. And so you won't know that your child, but it still comes from a person that has been bullying them, because that person who made the ultimate pact will go last to make sure that everybody has done it. And that's even if they do it. Mm. And so that's what was going on in Clarksville, Tennessee, that there was this suicide pact and people were killing themselves, teenagers were killing themselves, that we thought were normal kids. They had no reason. They had a good home, good, you know, good friends. They weren't being bullied. And it's still under the umbrella of being bullying. So what signs, my question to you two would be, for that type of bullying, what signs would a person look for suicide pacts?
Well, I do have some signs to look for when someone is contemplating suicide, and I would think that I know we think that there are no signs, but I'm sure there has to be something maybe that we, you know, sometimes didn't see. But I'll tell you what I have, because I was going to go over this anyway. Signs that someone is contemplating suicide: talking about killing themselves, talking about having no reason to live. They feel like they are a burden to others. They begin to act reckless, sleeping a lot. You know, they fall into a depression. And, you know, that's something I have to watch out for. You know, if our kids, they're starting to just sleep a lot. I know this is for everybody, but right now we are talking about, you know, children. They begin to withdraw. They have an unexplainable rage, mood swings, no interest in extracurricular activities. They begin neglecting hygiene, declining grades, risk-taking behavior, eating habits change, giving away belongings, suicide notes, and, you know, those things. And as far as, you know, them making a suicide pact, I would think that, you know, if there are about 10 kids that are saying, I'm going to do this, then at least some of those kids are going to display some of these things, you know. And then, like you said, it goes back to bullying, so that's something else to watch out for. You know, is there a specific person in this group of friends that our kids are, you know, that they feel like is the, what you see they have an unhealthy relationship with? You know, they follow everything they say, because for somebody to be able to say, we're going to kill ourselves, and to have that type of control over, you know, their minds, you know, about 10 kids or, you know, how many ever kids it was, for somebody to be able to have that type of control, you know, that has to be seen before it happens. something has to be seen that, you know, there's this leader of this pack. There's a leader, and this leader is, you know, is being able to lead these kids in that direction. And so there has to be something there to, you know, that shows that, you know, that this is an unhealthy, something is going to, you know, to be there to show that there is an unhealthy relationship, you know, there as far as, you know, them being able to do that. You know, like most of us, a lot of us know the story of Jim Jones, you know, where he had all these people and, you know, he led all these people over to Ghana and had them to drink, you know, cyanide. But there were signs there. You know, there were people whose family members, they tried to tell them, hey, this isn't right. You shouldn't be, you know, involved with him, Lord. You know, there were people that saw that it was something wrong. And so, again, you know, just being, we have to educate ourselves and we have to, you know, be as mindful as we can. And we have a couple of people on the line. Pastor Michelle, we're going to leave your line open, and then we're going to open these other two lines. 8225, we're going to open you up, and 5065, we're going to open you up as well. And Keisha, we're going to let you go first, and then Shannon.
I just wanted to comment on what Pastor Michelle said and how she was saying that, you know, the little kids will join suicide packs and different things like that. But I do feel like, you know, in their desire to fit in different areas where they don't fit in necessarily in one area, they have found some other people with common interests, be it suicide or not, and that is a way for them to fit in, not maybe realize, well, I don't know if they realize or not, how detrimental that, you know, that kind of relationship is. But I do think that's another way for them to try and attempt to fit in, especially if they are outcast in the more popular groups or different things like that.
Right. I can definitely see that as well. See, I definitely can. And okay.
Hello.
Did you have anything to say, Pastor Michelle?
I totally agree. It is still a longing and a desire, like Keisha said, for them to fit in. It's something that drew them together, a common denominator. And we as parents, really, 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 because of the state of the world is in, we really need to be praying over the mind of our children, because as bubbly or outgoing, as many friends as they have, still is something. The enemy is still doing something to draw the children. I agree, Keisha, common denominator. We have to, so therefore we have to start looking at the type of friends that our children hang out with.
You know, I was talking to Kwajalein earlier today, and what I said to her was that the children, we have, you know, kids, and we raise them in these different environments, some good, some bad. But I feel like kids that are, especially some that are raised in not so great environments, prey on kids who haven't been exposed to those types of things. And since they haven't been exposed to those types of things, they're not equipped to deal with the pressures of society. They haven't been through a whole lot of things. We haven't, you know, we haven't neglected them in ways that they have to learn to fend for themselves, or we haven't belittled them so much that they've had to grow a thick skin. That's not something that they're used to. And so you have these kids, and they're not used to these things. They're not used to these environments. And then you have put them in a situation where, you know, you have other children who are completely aggressive towards them, who, you know, learn these behaviors wherever they've learned them from, and they're now inflicting them upon children who they're just not equipped for it. And you know, they can bend and bend and bend and bend, but eventually some of them break, unfortunately. And I think with the things that, with things the way that they are in society, we, you know, probably need to change the dynamics of our households. And because I've never, ever even considered talking to my child about suicide. It never occurred to me that, you know, that would be something that I would need to discuss with him at such a small age. But I'm feeling like now maybe, you know, it's not such a bad thing.
Right. Yeah. I agree.
All right. I definitely appreciate you ladies giving in and chiming in and giving your statements, because definitely that was some great information from the both of you, and I love you both. Shannon, you're on the air. You got the floor right
okay.
now.
I have a couple of comments. One, when we were talking earlier about the parents, you know, when it's hard for a parent to admit if their child's a bully. Well, one, that will mean, you know, something is wrong, like Pastor Michelle was saying, with our parenting skills. And then we have to take accountability in, you know, maybe we missed something. And people in general don't like to take accountability in anything, to me, most of the time. But we have to just do a self-evaluation, a self-check, and kind of just check ourselves and say, okay, well, what is it that I'm instilling? Or if am I actually giving my children, you know, proper values? Or am I allowing the internet or the TV or their games or their friends to, you know, raise them and give them the proper examples? I think that's part of the issue. A lot of people don't want to, you know, say, okay, well, something wrong with me. I know with me, with my oldest daughter, when she was very, very challenging in her elementary years, I refused to take her to see a specialist, but she was off the meter. And so, because it kind of felt like, well, there's something wrong with me if something is wrong with her, because I'm a good mama. You know, I follow this. I talk to my children. I do everything perfect. But so if she found something wrong, then that means there's something wrong with me. So, but I ended up doing it either way. But I just wanted to comment on that. That was one of my comments. And then when Pastor Michelle was saying, if the child doesn't show specific signs in regards to, you know, withdrawing themselves, you know, decreasing appetite, sleeping, feeling great, whatever, then how is it that we can identify that this may be a child who may possibly, you know, kill themselves? Because in the example that she gave, that particular child was bubbly. Bless you. My thing is, okay, if this is that particular example. First, just like we got the internet and we can look up stuff, them kids stay on their phone 24/7. So they can look up the information as well. And they're very intelligent and very smart to know, okay, well, if these are the common signs, I will do the complete opposite so that I won't bring attention to myself. So that means that we as parents, we have to constantly, as tired or as we may be thinking our kids, okay, talk to them all the time. And then sometimes if the child was extra bubbly, okay, if the anniversary is coming up, you know, with the sibling's death, just a common reaction probably would have been not necessarily just to be extremely happy, but just kind of solid, you know, just okay. Not necessarily fully sad, but we just have to be mindful that, you know, just like we have access to this information, they have access to it as well, and they are very intelligent, and they can be very manipulative as well. So we have to constantly talk to our children. And sometimes we look at certain, you know, movies or whatever to bring up certain conversations, even though, like, the other young lady was saying, okay, well, she never thought that it would be, you know, to have a conversation about suicide, you know, because you just don't think that you need to discuss it. Maybe, but it happens. like it does happen. You know, just like a lot of people think their kids not having sex because we in a Christian home and you gonna wait till you get married. Negative. No, we gonna have a conversation. We're gonna talk about it. I want you to wait. Of course, you're supposed to wait, but we're going to have a conversation. So that's just my comment about everything. Thank you.
I wanted to say something also. Like you pointed out, Shannon, about the young lady being extra bubbly that Pastor Michelle was talking about, that's actually something else that I read, that sometimes that can be a sign if they are overly happy.
Okay.
You know, mm-hmm. So it is really, you know, looking, like you said, talking and being prayerful, you know, asking God to show us those little things, because I don't mm-hmm. know, and this is just my personal opinion. It's only an opinion. I just believe if our kids are at a point where they're thinking about taking their life, even if it's something small, I do believe that it's just something there, because that's a big deal. That's a very big deal for you to contemplate that and then to make a decision to do that. And so, and like I said, that's just my personal, it's just a personal opinion. I believe that even if it's really small, there is still something there to something that's going to change, because that's just, I mean, that's a very, very big deal. And you guys, we're leaving, you know, you guys open. If you want to chime in, you know, your lines are still open. Now we're going to go to 8860. Doe, you're on the air.
First off, I'm enjoying everything I'm hearing. You know, everybody making good points. But think about, I'm going to tell y'all something to think about. Is because when I was coming up, my mama was a pastor, and she raised me and my sisters right. But, you know, I was one of the ones that people could consider a troublemaker. So, you know, it was, you know, and having some friends who committed suicide, you know, it's some things to look for. So what I do, for mine, if I talk to them, you know, I give them all sides of life, you know, from the Christian side, from the street side, from the hustler side. Everything
right.
I've been through, I try to, you know, put it out there for my kids to see, you know, and we talk to our kids about everything. It's not a subject in life that comes up that we don't be open to our kids about, because of, if you leave, I feel like if you leave something out, then that just leaves a spot for somebody else to come in and sway their minds another way. So you have to talk to them from every aspect of life. You know, you give it to them, because the thing about it is, the world don't care nothing about your kids.
That's
you know
right.
what I'm saying? I mean, just the world in general. Life is full of all kinds of stuff that's going to go on. And I mean, I know for me, we started in elementary school on up. Because in these days, the stuff, the problems that these kids are going through, they, you know, the stuff that they are doing, we didn't do until later. But see, I come from a generation that was much more, that was a little bit more advanced than y'all generation. So, you know, some of the stuff that even that they're doing now, you know, we have some things trickling in my generation. So that's why I talk to my kids now and just show them. I was one of those going around terrorizing people. Now, I wouldn't call myself a bully. Some would, some won't. But, you know, I know from both sides. I mean, because we did do things that wasn't, you know, that were frowned upon. That, you know, I'm not really proud to say I've done them, but I can say that I learned from my mistakes, and I passed that on to my kids so they won't make the same mistake. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and that is another way to go by. Like, you got to keep an open communication. Like, I don't believe in being our friends, our children friends, but at the same time, it's an open communication to where they can come to us with anything. And, you know, if we see anything, any kind of behavior change, then that's when we come to them and say, hey, man, what's going on today? You know what I'm saying? Like, you ain't yourself. You know, because I done had a few friends that committed suicide. You know, so it's, you know, any kind of change, and it might not be some, it may be something big and it may not be something big. But at the same time, if any kind of, if you notice any kind of difference, man, that, I think that's when you should come in and just say, hey, what's going on? You know, how you doing? Blah, blah, blah. And then that way, if it is something there, then it can be addressed. And if it ain't, then at least they know that it's an outlet that you, you know, they have that communication with you to where if it is something, they can come and tell you.
Wow. That's pretty good. Brother, I really appreciate that statement. And everybody's giving some great pointers, some great, methods of, you know, being able to handle our kids and talk with them about the challenges of this life. And we actually have two new callers on the air. And I would like to call 2174. Caller, you're on the air. You can go ahead and introduce yourself if you want to and just tell us how you heard about the show.
I enjoy, you know, what has been said, and I have been a parent of a child that has been bullying, you know, and it's not easy because a lot of times the child won't come home and tell the parent what's going on with them because, you know, the people that are bullying them were, you know, scare them and tell them what they were going to do. But I was just one of the blessed ones that the Board of Education stepped in and helped me and got some help with my child. So, you know, everything what everybody has said is true and stuff, but we just got to take notion of our children, you know, and I heard someone said of what they're looking at on the internet, who they're talking to or who they are befriending, because that makes a difference. And a lot of times children are being bullied because they don't wear the nice clothes and shoes like they wear, and they might not have the good hair like some of them have. And that's also a sign of bullying. So everything that everyone has said does make a lot of sense.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you very much for that. That's definitely true. I appreciate your statement, caller. And we're going to move up to our last caller that just chimed in here not too long ago. 9846. 9846, you're on the air. Go ahead and please introduce yourself and just tell us how you heard about the show. And if you have something you want to say, you're definitely welcome to. The floor is open. 9846.
I was just listening. My name is Ms. Booker, and I was just listening to what everybody said, and everything was true. I have two small kids that's in school, so I'm taking everything in.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Ms. Booker, for calling in.
Yes, thank you all for chiming in. And I want to touch on two things, one thing Doe said and one thing that Minister Phyllis said. Though when you were saying if you notice a change, you know, ask them if they're okay. You know, sometimes that will make all the difference. Sometimes that will make not, you know, we're talking about children, but not just children, adults too, but, you know, again, the focus is children. If we have children that are committing suicide, are contemplating suicide, and it's because they've been bullied or they don't fit in or whatever, you know, oftentimes they're feeling like no one cares. No, you know, I don't belong here. What is my purpose? And so if, you know, somebody says, hey, I noticed that something's going on with you, you've changed, you're a little different, that right there is showing them that you're important. Somebody is noticing you. So that's something else. You know, we have to be mindful of that. So even if it's not your child, even if it's not our children, even if it's, you know, our friends' children, and we see, hey, you know, something's going on with them, you know, go to them, you know, you okay? Or go to the parents, is you know, is she okay? I've been noticing, you know, she's a little quiet, or I noticed, you know, something different with her or whatever, because that shows that, you know, somebody's paying attention. Somebody's paying attention. And so that was a very, very good point. And then, Evangelist Phyllis was saying, you know, people, our kids are getting bullied because of clothes and, you know, things like that. And so that is something else that, you know, we may want to try to just reinforce. We can try, you know, sometimes it may not work because of the pressures that they are dealing with, you know, in school and things like that. But just, hey, it is good to look nice. We do want you to look nice. We want you, you know, to be clean, you know, but reinforcing that these type of things don't make a person. These type of things, and that's on both ends, whether, you know, our, you know, it's the child that doesn't have it or the child that does have it, because some people are in a position where they can do more for their children than other people. So, you know, making sure that at a young age we begin to educate our children on that, because, you know, we do that even out with Jeremiah. Everybody, you know, is not in a position to have some of the things that you have. Some people have more than you. Some people are not in a position to have what you have. And then teaching them to give back, teaching them to have that compassion for people that don't, you know, that may be in need. You know, going to do, taking them to go and do things, you know, like helping feed the homeless, or, you know, to see the kids in the hospital, you know, whatever. It's so many things that we can do. You know, oftentimes, you know, that will also help open up that, you know, that'll help clear some of that up in some cases, you know, where it might not be so important to them, you know, to have the Jordans or whatever, you know, they have that's, you know, out now or whatever, because it truly is part of it is a mentality that has to be broken. And so I just wanted to say that.
I agree. And it all boils down to this one thing that, you know, that everybody's talking about, and every topic that's been brought up tonight, it all boils down to actually two things. It's peer pressure, and it's also their lack of knowledge. When you have a kid that's bullying, they're not understanding, or they're not sure about what that person is going through. And then the peer pressure part is everybody else is doing it, so let me do it so I can fit in. Because if I don't, then, you know, then I'm going to be considered an outsider. And then they're going to wind up drawing all the attention on me. So you know, parents, just as my wife said, you know, giving your kids the opportunity to see people, you know, that actually go through and that are less fortunate than you, and giving back to that person or helping that person out, it's always a great idea to help someone in need. I mean, you can easily allow your kids to see you doing it. You know, you go into the grocery store and it's someone in front of you or it's someone behind you, and you pay for their groceries. You know, and then they don't realize their groceries being paid for, or you're in a drive-through and you see somebody behind you, and your son or your daughter notices that that's one of their friends, and, you know, you give an act of kindness. So this right here, it won't completely eradicate, you know, the bullying and the cyberbullying aspect, because it has become such a rampant and large epidemic on a large scale. But what we can do is one person at a time can decrease that, and then eventually, you know, by the grace of God, we can actually eliminate it altogether. I mean, because cyberbullying and bullying altogether can be stopped, because, you know, as a less fortunate kid growing up, I didn't have much either. And one thing I had to learn how to do is I had to learn how to crack back on people that cracked on me. So I got really good at it. But then I realized, okay, people are cracking on me. Do I want to do that to somebody else? No, I don't want to do that to somebody else, because I don't know that person's story. And that person can be 10 times worse off than I am. And you know, coming up in a single-parent home, that was definitely a tough thing. So, parents, I definitely encourage you, callers that are on the line, let's do all that we can, you know, to completely eradicate bullying and cyberbullying. That goes to watching your kids' devices, making sure they're not on site, picking on people, and actually getting out in the community and allowing your kids to see you give back. And not only you give back, but you're giving them the opportunity to do it.
Love. Raising our kids up in love. Teaching them love. In home love, teaching them love, you know, and respect. Keisha and I, when we were on the phone earlier, we were talking about this, and this is something that may seem small to people, but it's not. It grows and it goes into all of this. You know, then your kids end up being bullies. But something as simple as, you know, I was telling her how we could be out. And my little ones, Jeremiah's not like this anymore. He used to be. But my little ones, they love to say hello, hi, hi, hi. And you'll have grown people. Now, I do know some people, they, you know, their minds may be somewhere else. But you'll have people that will look them right in the face, won't speak, roll their eyes, you know, whatever. I mean, just disrespectful. Like, if you can do that to a little kid, then, you know. But just doing those things, you know, opening the door for somebody, saying thank you, you know, all of that is teaching our kids empathy. It's teaching them respect, you know, teaching them love. And that's what we lack. And this is why it's so easy for these kids to bully and cyberbully and keep going and going and going and going and going until they push these kids to do something either to themselves or to them. And then something else we were talking about, you know, some of the kids that were bullied, you know, they end up, you know, they just snap because they don't know what else to do. Like Keisha was saying, they don't know how to handle it. And then they snap, and then what happens? You know, they have a reputation. They're in prison or whatever because this is all just too much for them to handle. And so, you know, it's just very important that we do tackle these issues as best as we can, continue to do research. And, you know, like Shannon was saying, the kids, they have access to the Internet just like we do, so that means we need to, you know, we need to do even more to try as much as we can to at least, I can't say even be a step ahead of them because I don't know if we're going to be able to do that, but at least to be as close to, the, you know, on the same page as they are, to know what's out there, to really know what's out there, because it's a lot going on. But the lines are still open. Does anybody have any final remarks before we get ready to close out?
Pastor, I have one more thing to say. Don't be afraid to accept help from your friends. I'm a mother of four. My children ages ranges from 25 to 16. And one of the things that I had a problem with at first, because I didn't know how to receive it, but it quickly went away, and I see a lot of parents now having problems. When you have a friend that your child wants to confide in more than they want to confide in you, if that friend is walking the same walk that you're walking, don't be afraid of allowing your child to confide in them with the intent of, because this is what I do. I allow the child to say what they want to say. Now, there's certain things that I'm going to share with your parents because you don't know how to share it. And then I'll tell the parent, listen, if you don't want to break your child's trust, make sure that you handle it this way. Because if you come at your child, and I've had parents who say, you know, why would you talk to her? I'm your mama. And then they shut down from everyone. So don't be afraid to accept help from friends with raising your children. It's okay.
Right. That's right.
I just wanted to add one more thing. Hello?
Okay.
I'm sorry.
We're trying to if it cut off, we're trying to extend it. Hopefully, it don't cut off.
That's okay. It's just real quick. And also, if you, I suggest having your child write you a letter, because I know with my children range from 18, 15, 9, and 6. So, and I can get excited. That's my word. So sometimes I get excited and they don't really, you know, feel too comfortable. So I say, okay, well, just write me a letter. Because when the emotions have sizzled, it makes it easier for them to tell you whatever they want. It just makes it very easy. That's it.
Right. And it is easier sometimes, I think, to write than to talk. And that way you don't have to worry about what you're saying, you know, being misunderstood. So that's very good. That's a great point. And Pastor Michelle, you made a great point as well. You know, don't be afraid to accept help from your friends, and don't be afraid to seek, you know, just get help. Get help. If you see that your child is being bullied, if you see that, you know, there are signs that your child is a bully, you know, Don't be, I hate to use the word prideful, but that's truly what it is. You know, let's work together to try to do better for, you know, our families, our kids, our society as a whole. We thank you all for everything. Awesome show tonight. Awesome show. We thank everyone for listening and for your input. And I'm just going to give these again that Kyra gave, last time. And when they are able, they will be back on. So I'll make sure everyone knows. But puresight.com, PureSight.com. And netnanny.com. I also, you know, the National Suicide Prevention Hotline, I'm going to give that 1-800-273-8255. So there are resources out there. Let's make sure, you know, we take advantage of those resources. And, you know, we love you guys. You guys have a wonderful night.
That's true.